The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Good morning, LifeStreams. It is good to be with you this morning. I live in Bali now. I just want to let you know, I'm cold, okay? I'm sorry. I've rugged up a little bit this morning, so I'm sorry I'm not looking so trendy. I'm looking forward to getting on the plane 5:30 this evening and getting back to my tropical climate. I know I'm originally from Canada, but you know I've been in Indonesia 9 years now, and my Canadian toughness for resisting the cold has kind of melted away, and now I like the tropical weather. I avoid going back to Canada during the winter. But my name is Dwayne, and I've served with Youth of the Mission now for 20 years, coming up almost 21 years. I started here in Perth, Australia, with YWAM, 1996 from 2007. I met my wife Chantal here at the YWAM base, and she too is from Canada, just down the road, 3-hour drive. We met on the other side of the world. We didn't know each other back home in Canada. It's just amazing how God kind of arranges that. You know, He takes you to the other side of the world. You end up marrying someone just down the street from you. So it's just phenomenal. We have three young boys, Jaden, Cade, and Matthias. Jaden's going to celebrate his 11th birthday tomorrow. I get back just in time for that. But yeah, we serve in Indonesia. So we moved from Perth, Australia. We got married in this church, 2002. And then it was 2007, we moved to Indonesia, largest Muslim nation in the world. We live in Bali. It says Denpasar there. It's the capital of Bali, but that's where we live. It's the only Hindu island in Indonesia, but it makes it a great environment for us to be able to run a base that will train and mobilize workers to serve across this nation of Indonesia. What was my next slide up here? I'm not controlling things, so. Oh yeah, here's our group. This is our mob. We got about 60 full-time staff serving with us, about 30 Indonesians, about 30 from outside of Indonesia, and we run numerous different training programs. Right now, we're running a discipleship training school and a school of worship. We got about 26 students all together involved with that. But I was wondering if we could quickly show our video, which kind of gives a little picture of what we're involved with up there.
God is on the move amongst the people of Indonesia. A people created beautiful and diverse, gifted with rich cultures spanning across thousands of emerald islands. Through the centuries, the gospel has taken root in many parts of the archipelago, yet hundreds of people groups still live in darkness and poverty. How can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can they tell unless they are sent? U of N Bali was birthed out of a vision to be a sending home for Indonesians and internationals to go. We are nurtured in our relationship with God, challenged to grow in character and develop ministry together. We go to prisoners to sit with them and tell them of the truth that sets them free. We go to our friends at the traffic light and tell them that they are God's children. We go into the slums to give children access to education. And we go to the darkest streets so that we can embrace the lost with the hope of Jesus. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Join us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we partner with God, raising up this generation to go.
Amen. And it is exciting to be a part of what God is doing in this awesome nation. There are people coming to the Lord. There are churches being planted. There are movements happening. There's still so much to happen. But I'm trusting that in my day, in my generation, before I get to go see Jesus, Indonesia will no longer be the largest Muslim nation in the world. It can happen, guys. It can happen in our day and our generation. We just want to thank you, LifeStreams, for your support for us as a family up there in Indonesia. I think the next slide shows, will be, oh, this is my current school I'm supposed to be leading. I've left them, I've abandoned them for 1 week, so I hope they're doing good. And we did a baptism. We had three of the students want to get baptized in the ocean there. So this is a photo from our baptism. We got about 20 students on that school. Next slide, we have, I think, yeah, this is a photo of the land that we have purchased for our new base property. We've purchased 3,000 square meters of land. We saw the release of close to $1 million to see that come in. And this is where we're going to be building our new campus, because our current facilities contract is up end of next year, December. We're going to be out on the street, so I need a new location to take all our people to. Next slide. I think there's me and my youngest boy. We just had our groundbreaking ceremony a few weeks ago. We buried a Bible in the ground and everything. We prayed over the land, really dedicated it to God, that His purposes would be fulfilled through this place. Next slide. And this is a vision, or this is the blueprint from the architect of what it's going to look like. It's going to house about 150 people, have four classrooms, with a vision for mobilizing workers to serve and impact across the nation of Indonesia. I think this building is about $3.5 million. We've seen about $700,000 released so far for this, so we're going to start building and hopefully at least have enough built by December next year to put what we've currently got into there. So that's a bit of an idea of what we're involved with and what's happening up in Indonesia. But I'm going to talk a little bit about missions. I think that's my next slide. And what is it? Why do we do what we do? And as a church, I think it's important that we remember, it's good to remind ourselves and to keep the main thing the main thing, right? And a few things that come to my mind when I think of the main thing, when I think of the gospel, when I think of Jesus. The two great commandments, right? Like when Jesus says these are the greatest commandments, we should pay attention. Whoa, these must be important, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And it was incredible to hear the ministry, the Eagle Mission today. Just that expression, that practical expression of loving people. It's another emphasis of the gospel. What are one of the main things? Well, it's loving God. It's loving our neighbor. And it's also another main aspect that's presented in the gospel is this concept of the Great Commission. That as just after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he gives the disciples some important instructions before he ascends to heaven. One of them comes through in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, which says, "Go into all the world and preach this good news to all creation," or every creature, every individual. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says something very similar. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." That God wants us to practice these great commandments of loving Him and loving our neighbor with this vision of bringing His kingdom. He even challenges us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, right? "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that challenges me every day. It's like, it helps me to look at Indonesia. And I hope it would challenge us to, for everyone here, to look at your context, your community, your city, your nation. What would it look like for God's kingdom to come? For His will to be done in Perth as it is in heaven. For His will to be done in Australia as it is in heaven. For God's will to be done in Indonesia as it is in heaven. That this is what God calls us to pray for. And not just to pray for, but to give our lives for, to live for, to see it come as a realization, a reality in our nations today. This is it, guys. It's God's kingdom come. We got to keep the main thing, the main thing. And it's interesting. It's we hear this concept of go, right? You could go into all the world. Go. It takes initiative. We need to make a choice. You know what? It's not just going to happen. I need to make a decision to go. And it talks about the feet of the gospel, the feet that bring the good news. That we got to make a decision to move. either to go to another nation or at least go to the person across the street from us or across the aisle or across the hallway. That there's this aspect of us going. We've got good news, which means that we are responsible for communicating this good news, for passing it on to others, to let this good news transform their lives as well, and that they too will pass it on to others to transform the lives of others. This is how we transform our families, our communities, our cities, and our nations. The other scripture that comes through in regards to this thing of the Great Commission, Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, in all Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to be a witness of Jesus. And the Greek word for that is martureo, where we get the English word martyr from. God calls us to be his martyrs, to lay down our lives for this good news, to be his witnesses, to hear his heart for the nations. This involves denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. And this concept of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And I love that because we see that demonstrated in this church with the Christ to Cosmos vision. That this church supports local mission and mission in Australia and mission to the ends of the earth. And typically when I've seen a church embrace that threefold vision, it's a healthy church. It's a vibrant church because you guys have got it. You've got the heart of God, his heart for the lost, his heart beating for the nations. Because he's not just the God of Australia. He's not just the God of Perth, right? He's the God of all nations. Those that don't know him, and those that are different from us, like people like in Iran, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Yemen, that he is their God as well, and that he wants them to have the opportunity to respond to this good news as well. I think next slide. Now let's look a little bit at this concept, this Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It does involve getting out of our comfort zone. It's very much reflected in the life of God that he stepped out of heaven. He stepped out of the ultimate comfort zone, right? Where the angels are singing his praises. No needs, no suffering, no pain. And he steps into earth as a man. He left the ultimate comfort zone to live among us. He calls us to do the same. Will we step out of our comfort zone? And the apostles were challenged with this. They were Jewish people. They were very Jewish. And in their mindset initially, it was like, God is the God of the Jews. And then in Acts chapter 8, they hear about Philip, and he's ministering to the Samaritans? Ew, the Samaritans. We don't like Samaritans. They're different. They only believe the first 5 books of Moses. They worship God on a mountain, not in the temple. We really don't like them. They make us uncomfortable. But anyway, John and Peter were commissioned by the church in Jerusalem. Go and see what's going on. And here we read in Acts chapter 8 that they go and they came down and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on any of them. They'd simply been baptized in the Lord Jesus. Then when the apostles, they had to lay their hands on Samaritans. Yeah. And when they laid their hands, boom, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's only 4 instances in the book of Acts where there's a visible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The first is Pentecost. This is the second one. And it's like God saying, yes, I love it when you go cross-cultural. Yes, I love it when you get out of your comfort zone. This is the same John that once prayed when they were walking through Samaria and a Samaritan village said, you can't stay here. And John and his brother James said, Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven and destroy this village? And Jesus rebukes them, right? No, we're not calling down fire on anyone. This is the same guy. Here he is praying for Samaritans, laying hands on them, outpouring of the Spirit. Whoa, and they open up their eyes. Whoa, God is the God of the Samaritans. That he has a plan and a purpose for them as well, that he loves the Samaritans. And so we see them step out of their comfort zone and God move through them. The next major hurdle, the next major jump of the gospel cross-culturally is in the next passage from Acts chapter 10 where we read about Peter. And God's going to prepare Peter to go preach the gospel to a Gentile. Ooh, if there is someone that the Jewish people hated more than Samaritan, it was Gentiles. And this is a Roman centurion that he's going to... Oh, Roman centurion? Isn't he like representative of that occupying power, that oppressive force that's keeping the Jewish people in slavery and oppression? They're like, this would be a guy that the Jewish people hated, absolutely hated. And God's preparing Peter's heart. You're going to go. You're going to get out of your comfort zone. First, he gets this vision of the sheep descending from heaven, of all these unclean animals that the Jewish people would not eat. There'd be rats and bats and snakes in there. He's like, get up, Peter, kill, eat. And Peter's like, no, disgusting. I mean, how many of us would feel comfortable eating a rat? You know, or a bat? It's kind of disgusting. It's like, I don't feel comfortable with this. You know, it's like, and God's saying, do not declare unclean or unholy. What I have declared is clean and holy. I'm the God of all nations. Get out of your comfort zone, Peter, and go. And we read about in the next passage in chapter 10 where he goes and he preaches the gospel to this Roman centurion. I think it's the next slide. And he shares with them. And it says the Holy Spirit falls upon him. This is the third expression. And it's like God saying, yes, Peter, yes. I love it. I love it when you get out of your comfort zone. You go to someone who's different from you. They believe different. They operate different. They act different. They talk different. And you go and you love them. And you share my good news with them. And it says the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Boom. Because you remember that Great Commission? It says God's with us always. Right? Go and make disciples of all nations. And I am with you always. Yes, being a witness is not comfortable, guys. On the next slide, there's a quote. It's by a politician from many, many years ago, over 150 years ago. It says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. That when the church falls asleep, guys, we do see an increase in wickedness. We do see an increase in the kingdom of darkness. Now, some politicians have used this in past history to justify, therefore we rise up and we go drop bombs on our enemy, right? That's not what God is calling us to do, right? He says, therefore, I want you to go, reach out. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to go out and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, everyone, and especially those that are different from you. Because I am the God of all nations. I love them all. He's calling us to make a difference in this world. This thing of the Great Commission, it does. It pushes us out of our comfort zone. It is a call to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him, to be a martyr, to be a witness for Jesus. And I think in today's age, today's generation, guys, obviously our big challenge is the Muslim world. We are seeing Europe literally shaken today by the Islamic world. We're seeing an increase in violence. What's the response of the church? What's our response, guys? I know they are different. They talk different. They act different. They speak different. They behave different. They use different food. They have different clothes. And typically, yeah, we are uncomfortable around that which we are is different from us. Our close friends, the people we hang out with, are typically the ones we have things in common with. Okay? We typically don't hang out with people that are different from us. And if we tolerate that gap between us and that which is different, then we don't understand it, right? And when there's something we don't understand, we typically are afraid of it, right? The enemy uses this lack of understanding to develop fear. And then when you get afraid, you either want to attack or remove the object of your fear. You either want to attack it or you want it to be removed. Get rid of this. And we can see the work of the enemy and how he uses fear. But we are children of God, guys. He does not want us to walk in fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That if we are children of the living God, we should operate as he operates. Step across the gap. Get out of our comfort zone and to go. Learn more about these people. Learn more of what it is they believe, how it is that they operate. Because if you can understand them more, that will open the door to loving them. Because it is very difficult to love that which you do not understand. And you know what, guys? You have the opportunity to do that here in Perth. I know Luke is constantly reaching out and ministering to Muslims here in Perth. There is ministries in different parts of Perth to reach out to Muslims. I would like to challenge you guys to seriously consider, how can I practically reach out, practically engage with Muslims in this city? Because it is an incredible challenge, guys, but it is actually an incredible opportunity as well. That if we can see them come to know Christ, we could potentially see the gospel spill back into their home nations, some of the toughest nations in the world, and see them transformed for Jesus. We all have opportunity, guys. It's an incredible challenge, but it is an incredible opportunity. But it does require being like John, being like Peter. Ooh, yeah, they're different. I'm a bit uncomfortable, and I'm a little bit afraid. How do you overcome your fear? You face it. I have a young American guy on this school, discipleship school, and he sees all the Islamophobia happening back home in America, and he says, I want to meet Muslims. I don't want to be controlled by that fear. So the other week, with the whole base, we went down to Kuta for evangelism. I said, let's just go find a mosque. And we got on Google Maps. We found the nearest mosque. And we went there. We marched right inside. We overcoming his fear, right? We engaged in a dialogue with a Muslim in that mosque. The only way to overcome your fear, guys, is to face it, right? Fear of spiders, fear of Muslims, fear of anything. This is how you do it. But when it comes to people, God wants us to overcome fear and move in love. And as you build bridges, as you build relationships, you'll grow in your understanding of people, and that will help you to love them. And I love that last part of the Great Commission. As I mentioned before, go and make disciples of all nations. Get out of your comfort zone. And remember, I will be with you always. Just like we saw that outpouring of the Holy Spirit when they prayed for the Samaritans, boom. When Peter preached to Cornelius, Roman centurion, boom. God rejoices. He loves it. When we step out of our comfort zone and we go to that which is different from us, that's exactly how God operates. And that's how he calls his children to operate. And we don't have to do it alone. We do it with our Heavenly Father. Amen? Lord, we just thank you for this Great Commission. And we just thank you that you are a good Father who equips us, empowers us. You've called us to do this. And you don't say, go do it by yourself. Go do it alone. You say, and I am with you always. I am with you always. I just pray, Lord, for your anointing and blessing on everyone here. If there is anything of fear, we just stand against it in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that you call us to be your children. You call us to operate out of love. I just pray for that anointing of faith, that anointing of courage, that anointing of boldness to step out of their comfort zone, to go to those that are different from them, to learn about them, to understand them, and to love them, and to be used mightily by you to bring your good news into their life. We worship you, God. We honor you. We say thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We give you all the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks.
Hey, church, can we give Dwayne a big round of applause?
No worries.
I feel so blessed that we get to partner with Dwayne. Man, what a blessing that was. Thank you, Dwayne. Church, what does God want us to do this morning? Can I get the guys to put up the prayer slide for us? There's three ways I want to invite you guys to respond. Number one, each week you have the opportunity to pray for people like Dwayne. We send out a prayer email with prayer points for two of our C2C family. Margaret Barsley does a great job of it. If you want to become part of that team, send us a text to that phone number that's on the screen. Just put your name, C2C prayer, and we'll make sure you get on that list. I want to invite you guys to pray with us. We already talked about giving. That's the second way we can respond. There's these brochures at the back of the church. You can go on the internet, or you can give through the PushPay app. So we can give to the Faith Promise, so that financially we can support people like Dwayne and Basil. But also this morning, we've been talking about going. I don't want to be one of those people that just gives money so I don't have to be involved. I want to be one of those people that gets my hands dirty, and I want us to be a church that gets our hands dirty. That's where life happens. That's exciting. And so I want to invite you guys to go today. You can go through hanging out with Muslims like Dwayne talked about. And if that's something that interests you, send me a text message and we'll come and chat to me after the service. But we also heard from Basil and his team before, and they've got a number of outreach events in December and they need volunteers. Now, Basil's actually brought a heap of his team along. So can I just get his team to stand up quickly? Basil's team, Yvonne's team, everyone stand up because there's a heap of you here. Okay, so guys, just turn around, okay? If you can see some of these guys, can you just grab one of them after the service, make them feel welcome because they're our visitors, and have a chat to them about what's happening in the city and how we can be involved. They need really practical stuff. They need cooks. They need people who are going to buy some food, people who are going to hang out with homeless people. That's stuff that we can do. All right, have a seat, guys. So that's how we can respond today. I think that's exciting. We can pray, we can give, and we can go. If you're a new friend here today, this is your place. This is a place you've just started coming. We want to invite you to have a free coffee on us. In the foyer, there's a new friend's desk. If you want to know more about what's happening in the church, guys, grab your community life. There's lots of information about that. And lastly, if there's something on your heart today, if God's stirring your heart, then please come so we can pray for you. Send us a text message so we can be praying for you. If there's something that you're not doing so well, you know, you're struggling with life, you're feeling sick, your kids aren't well, whatever it is, if you need a job, please let us know so we can be praying for you. Because we have a God that answers our prayers. Amen.